This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Shanning and Roshan. 7.37 in the morning, Friday the 21st of February, which means that in about half an hour we're going to be having the breakfast grill where I speak with Tan Yee Kew, MP for Wangsa Maju. So Dr. Tan joins us on the breakfast grill to discuss her experience dealing with syndicates plaguing hawker traders in her constituency, as well as various other issues and recent headlines surrounding the PKR's internal conflicts. So be sure to stay tuned for that after the 8 o'clock news bulletin. But right now we're taking a look at what's been happening over in the US, because yesterday saw the maiden appearance of Michael Bloomberg at the Democratic presidential debate in Las Vegas, Nevada, since he joined the race in November.
So in order for him to take part in the Nevada debate, he had to poll above double digits in four national polls recognized by the Democratic Party. And in recent polls, he was found to have gained a support from 19% of those surveyed, second to only Bernie Sanders and surpassing Joe Biden. So in those polls, all seem to be well and good in terms of his popularity.
Yeah, many voters were seeing Bloomberg live for the first time instead of in an ad on television or social media, because he spent as much as, I heard, $400 million on television, radio and digital advertising for his campaign. And according to CNN, he has a campaign operation involving more than 2,000 aides in New York and across the country. He's running it just like a big business, guys.
So the question is, though, how did he do in the debate? By all accounts, he was the main target for attack from other candidates. In fact, here's a snippet from the debate courtesy of the BBC.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
We have a grotesque and immoral distribution of wealth and income. Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans. That's wrong. That's immoral. That should not be the case when we got a 500,000 people sleeping out on the street.
It's between a socialist who thinks that capitalism is the root of all evil and a billionaire who thinks that money ought to be the root of all power.
So that was Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg all ganging up against Michael Bloomberg. So it's been quite a heated debate this time around.
I think the memes coming out from this debate were quite hilarious. If you want to get the Democratic Party united, just put someone they all hate together on one stage, and they will unite together to tear the person down. Yes, you know, there are plenty of memes of indicating that they just wanted to beat Bloomberg down, and he does represent everything the new Democratic Party doesn't want to see in a president. He's a billionaire, and this the first comment that Elizabeth Warren heard that we said just now, that was 9 seconds into the debate. She got into it very quickly, and that was based on a 32-page booklet that was gifted to Michael Bloomberg when he was 40 years old. That was in the 1990s. It's come back to haunt him.
Yeah, I mean, this debate was the most watched Democratic face-off to date. Audience of nearly 20 million television viewers and 13.5 million live streams. And this is according to the host, NBC News. Like you say, right, they all ganged up pretty much against him. But this debate also comes at a pivotal moment for all of the candidates. The Nevada caucuses are on Saturday, followed a week later by primary in South Carolina. And Michael Bloomberg actually doesn't appear on any ballot until March 3rd, which is known as Super Tuesday. And that's when 14 states vote for their chosen Democratic candidate, including California and Texas.
So the interesting thing is that Michael Bloomberg has said that his self-funded campaign means he's not beholden to any kind of lobbyist or outside power. But in contrast to that, he has also been accused of trying to buy the election. He was criticized over his support for the stop and frisk policy when he was mayor of New York that saw a disproportionate number of Black or Latino people questioned and searched by police officers. Now, he has since apologized for that policy, saying that he didn't realize how harmful it was to his city's black community. But as you heard as well, Elizabeth Warren has brought up derogatory comments that Bloomberg is reported to have made about women. So he's got quite a number of targets on his back.
Yeah, and at that point, those comments not really being confirmed by anyone. The only source is that that gift that was made for him, that was, and this was apparently a comment that he made. But that point about him being able to self-fund is very interesting, because on one hand, the argument is that he's impartial, supposedly, that he won't cater or bow down to lobbyists in Washington, as and maybe he'll be able to clean up the swamp because of this. But on the other hand, only a billionaire can go and do this. And it makes you feel like he's buying an election, essentially.
Does anyone else get the sense that he is the Democratic version of Trump?
Yeah, pretty much. Which is kind of scary when you think that Trump is in the White House, right? So it's possible. Yeah, you know, he seems to be spending his way to the top of the polls. That's number one. Number two is that, you know, I don't know, with the focus being very much on let's get Trump out of the White House. That seems to be the agenda of most Democrats, right? And who's the middle candidate? At this moment, it could be Bloomberg. That's the one that has that kind of middle of the road appeal. So you never know. He didn't do well in the debates. I think that's pretty much a given. You don't win elections on debates, but you do lose them if your public perception gets worse.
Yes.
So, but this is only debate one. So who knows?
Absolutely. You know, money and comments from the 90s aside, I would like to see what Michael Bloomberg is actually going to bring to the table in terms of policy.
And more importantly, it's the ad spend, and he's spending a lot of it, especially on TV, which is very important towards the belts, the Ohio's, the places where Trump has won because of his supposed strength and his business savviness. And if Bloomberg can attack those areas and get popularity, maybe he'll give. Maybe he may be the best shot the Democrats have, but that will then we have to then question the definition of what a Democrat is already.
Indeed. But now just jumping across the pond, the Boris Johnson administration has come up with some interesting plans for immigration post-Brexit. So the UK is going to introduce an Australian-style points-based system for incoming foreign workers beginning 1st of January next year. Now, overseas citizens would have to reach 70 points to be able to work in the UK, whereas EU and non-EU citizens coming to the UK would be treated equally, and low-skilled workers will not receive visas at all.
Yeah, the UK Home Secretary said that the new system would attract the brightest and best from around the globe, that was in quotes, by prioritising higher paid and better quality qualified workers from overseas. She also added that the system the government wanted to encourage people with the right talent and reduce the levels of people coming to the UK with low skills. This seems to be a way of bringing in the higher skilled talent into the UK.
And I guess just kind of defanging the biggest, complaint against the EU's open border policies, right? Which is that you saw in a lot of cases, Eastern European, people from Eastern European poorer countries coming towards the UK and Germany and France to find work and in effect, taking away the jobs of the British people. And I say this in air quotes.
Yeah, but the question is, will these new rules actually create substantial challenges for certain sectors which have been dependent on these workers? So sectors like social care, construction, and even food processing industry. And, you know, I don't know, is it the best system, you know, for the UK?
I don't know. I think there are a lot of questions still remaining on how this is going to be implemented and what sectors, as you said, constitute high skill. Because social care is an institution in the UK. The problem is, of course, that social care tends to be conducted by workers on 0-hour contracts. Conducted by workers with very little in the way of paper qualifications, but they learn on the job. So this is technical skill training that they receive. So how are these sectors going to fare in the wake of these new immigration policies? I think not a lot of people know the details of this yet. We will just have to wait and see. But right now we are about to head into into some messages. And then after that, we'll be talking about the long-awaited national automotive policy. So be sure to keep it here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.